Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello there, I'm Umar Paganampake Pagan, alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. We have just seen Justice League, the long-awaited follow-up to Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. And let me tell you, this is what compromise looks like. It is an interesting movie. You don't need the details, do you? But if you do, it's starring Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck, Ezra Miller, Jason Momoa, Ray Fisher, and of course, the only person anyone cares about, Gal Gadot, as Wonder Woman. The movie was directed by Zack Snyder, we think.
Mm-hmm. So officially, it's directed by Zack Snyder.
But it could be a dozen other people, including Joss Whedon, right? And let me tell you, this is what compromise looks like on screen. It's 2 hours, and it feels to me, this is the one thought that was running through my brain. In all of the stuff that they shot, they just kind of picked the bits they thought would work the best for fans and then stitched it together to form something coherent for 2 hours.
My first response coming out of this is barely a movie. It does enough. It does enough with story that it's not completely a dumpster fire, but it does it just about. Barely does a coherent story, I think. Yeah, so it's barely a movie.
I think this is going to sound weird considering how much I hated Batman versus Superman, but I think it's a lot more coherent than that. But also, this is something that came from this whole way that Warner Brothers and DC look at their movies, is they're in this old-fashioned comic book movie style, which is that we're not going to take anything that Christopher Nolan did or that the Marvel movies have done and like reinvent the comic book. Like, the comic book movie used to be a term of derision. And it's like, it's colorful heroes bounding around and just adventure. It's Terrence Stamp flying above something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Those first initial Superman movies were comic book movies.
Correct.
The very best ones. But this is like that too, where there's no style that ties everything together. Mm. There's not like, we're going to, you know, see the bad guy hanging around his apartment before he comes down to attack us or something like that. It's like he turns up, he does bad stuff, he disappears. It very is like old school, you know, saying something is comic booky doesn't apply these days. There's a wide range of types of comic books and stories you can tell. But this is like the bad version of those.
You know how like we always talk about Marvel films as having a genre, right? Mm. They're either a spy caper or rather like a Cold War film, like the Captain America movie was.
Sci-fi opera. A Taika Waititi movie, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah. This just feels like a comic book movie.
Yeah.
It is its own genre.
The artists rotate every issue.
Yes.
The writers change ever so often.
Yep.
There's bits of it delayed.
Yes.
There's humor in there where it might not be the
necessarily
best place to be.
Yeah.
Some of the action is like, it's a two-plate splash, but because there's so much going on, you can't really make it stuff out.
Also, how one issue and the previous issue sometimes don't actually line up in terms of character tone. Yeah. That was that detail. Yeah.
And that's pretty much what this is. In essence, this is probably the most comic book movie you'll ever see in 2017, actually no, in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, because it isn't as bad as Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, because there is a sense of coherence and there is also an element of fun, albeit just a very slight element of fun, because even the jokes, not all of them land. They feel very out of place and out of tone with the rest of the film.
And
they
feel very shoehorned.
Exactly. Yeah. They feel very shoehorned into this movie.
There's a line that Batman makes that comes after a moment that's quite serious, and it's also heading into another moment that's going to be very serious. Mm. And it's like a glimpse of a parallel universe or an Earth 2 comic book world where you could make that gag after that drama and it would work in the film. Like, as in, like, that was the design, would be that these were quipping superheroes the whole way through.
It feels like that particular joke you're talking about feels like a Joss Whedon joke out of a Marvel movie.
This is going to happen a lot. People will never know, but, like, all the quips, they do feel real Joss Whedon.
Yeah, it feels like a scene coming out of a Marvel movie.
And then the incredibly bleak beginning, which gives no reason. Like, is this like a week after Superman died? Is this like a year after Superman died? Why is everyone so bummed about Superman dying? He barely did. Like, it's again, it's the rushed feeling that DC and Warner Brothers have done with this. Superman was a beacon of hope. It's like, well, where was that? I didn't see that in any of the movies.
It wasn't in Man of Steel. Yeah. It wasn't in BVS. The military hated him. The media painted him as a selfish god. And so all of these things fell out of place. Also, that bleak tone in the beginning of the film didn't actually carry through.
No, it disappears very quickly.
But very quickly.
But for a moment, it's incredibly bleak. And it also has a really bad taste joke involving David Bowie and Prince, the newsprint thing.
Yeah.
That whole thing was like, whoa, this is setting a bad tone. And then there's a bank heist with 1966 Batman-style music.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, it settles down after this, but just at the beginning of the movie, I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm getting away from myself with these nitpicks, but once it got going and the characters are doing stuff, that's Batman.
No, that's fine. But
that's Aquaman.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, all of this nitpicky stuff is symbolic and the epitome of everything that is wrong with this film, because essentially it was put together by committee.
Yeah.
I mean, Zack Snyder did a cut, and from everything we've read, there was a recent Wall Street Journal article that said that the cost of this movie had bloated to $300 million.
Yeah. And it still looks like ass.
And it still looks like ass.
There is also, I think that ties into what we're talking about earlier, of that, like, there's no authorship.
No.
To the CGI. Steppenwolf, the main villain, looks awful.
I know the comic book movie has often been talked about with derision, but one thing we've seen with the Marvel movies, even though there is a signature Marvel style, right?
They have elevated the look of a Marvel movie.
But also, you know that there is an artist behind that movie.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, a perfect example is Thor and Taika Waititi.
And Thor's haircut. Yeah, Thor's haircut is the perfect example in any conversation you want to make.
But no, there is an artistic vision, whatever that vision may be, that's kind of clear and distinct.
That's exactly Thor's haircut. Looking back now, Thor's haircut made perfect sense in every one of those previous movies. But when you look back now, it doesn't fit with what Thor is now.
Yeah. Correct.
So, that goes the same. For this, though, it's like, I never thought I'd see parademons on screen. They were always something you saw in the animated cartoons because they're expensive. And the things we got are like, what are these? These are like bad vampires.
Yeah.
And Steppenwolf, I'm not familiar with Steppenwolf from the comics. I only know his boss.
Yep.
But he just like, Kieron Hines was more terrifying when he's just a big old dude like Mance Rayder in Game of Thrones, or even when he was in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance and he was just a guy in a suit. Like, he's more threatening as a human being than whatever the hell this porridge in a suit
helmet
was.
Yeah.
It was like,
I didn't mind the parademons. I thought they were okay. I think from some of the comics I've read where the parademons showed up, I thought they were okay. I liked the way that they were portrayed. I liked I liked the way they moved on screen. Like, they felt human. Whereas Steppenwolf, at times, the CG sort of really made it look CG, I thought.
And especially when they start fighting, it turns into the Injustice video game.
Yeah,
like, it does.
It really does. Yeah.
And that, it kicks you out of the story straight away.
Well, also because you can't necessarily make out any of the fight sequences or what's happening.
Yeah.
It just feels like a big computer graphic-y blur.
Yeah.
What's worse, when you have Aquaman fighting underwater, it feels like a big cloudy blur in which you can't see anything.
That felt like almost a good idea. There was almost I'm thinking James Wan is going to make Aquaman, right? I think he's going to run with that because it almost worked. Like, the fact that they couldn't talk to each other because they're underwater.
That was just really
weird.
Stupid.
They should have figured out some way of doing that. Or like, hey, you stop that, as opposed to just like, swim.
No, which is why you bring up the plot of the film, which is kind of irrelevant because it's all based around
three fetch quests.
Yeah, which is based around these three MacGuffins of mother boxes, right? And that's fine. I'm completely okay with the MacGuffin and the irrelevant plot. But the problem is that this is a movie that is entirely predicated on plot in the sense that it feels so rushed and so compressed that none of these characters have any time to breathe. Mm. We see so many things that would have been establishing shots in trailers that actually never made it to the movie. Mm. And as I'm watching this film, the one thought that kept repeating through my mind was, oh, wait, hold on. I'm sure there's more to this story. Mm. It, with every encounter, every confrontation that each character has, I'm sure they shot at least 10 minutes of extra footage that needed that all-important setup, which you don't get.
Well, don't forget, this was originally Justice League's part one and two.
Correct.
Which is, two was supposed to be released in 2019.
And well, it's not only that, but if you look up on if you look up Justice League on Google, it still says running time 2 hours 50 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was looking at just getting some of the names off IMDb. Iris West is listed in this
movie. Iris West is listed.
She's not in this movie.
No, she's not.
Was it? It's not Hippolyta. Who was it?
Connie Nielsen's character?
No, not Connie Nielsen's character. Robin Wright's character.
Yeah,
she's listed, and they said they shot something. Did you see her in there?
No.
I mean, there's a flashback and a list of David Toulis being in there as Ares, and that flashback is, again, it's a CGI blancmange. It's just like red jelly. I don't really make out anything. There was a Green Lantern in there, and I'm like, that's very clearly a Green Lantern. That's kind of cool. Who is it? I don't know. It's just it's muddy. It's like, the 3D didn't help either. The 3D glasses did not help.
The 3D glasses did not help. Although they did sort of... It was an obvious Green Lantern. They didn't sort of like try and do it in the distance. They did it right up front.
It was a guy with the ring in front of your eyes.
And just like disappeared.
As if to say, oh, look at me back here and all the movies you will not get anytime soon.
But anyway, moving along.
I don't think we were under any illusions that this was going to be a great movie. I mean, it's very rare that a movie has this much drama behind the scenes and turns out to be a stellar work of art, right? There are exceptions, very, very few exceptions, Casablanca being one of them, right? Mm. But other than that, more often than not, no, we're not. We're not even coming close. But other than that, with the exception of that movie, very few movies can actually get through what happened behind the scenes with Justice League, with the change of directors, with the change of writers, with the studio deciding to completely change direction on how they're going to make movies. Mm. They recently announced that they weren't going to do a joint universe and they were going to put more faith in directors to execute their own vision based on their properties, right?
Yeah, for now.
For now.
Because knowing WB, they'll change their mind in 2 years after the next movie comes out and doesn't do well.
And so the overwhelming feeling in this movie is that Warner wanted to get it over and done with as quickly as humanly possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just done. We're not going to have a part two.
You mean
finish the story and done.
You mean they wanted to get it done in a flash?
Okay, can I get back to the nitpicky quibbles?
Well, should we say something positive about the movie first? I mean, I think the humor did... One thing is, like, this movie, a lot of the online opinion was, like, it's fine. And it is fine.
It's fine.
It's like, fine. I did not erupt in anger like I did after, like, 5 minutes after watching Batman v Superman. Like, I was enjoying most of it.
Yeah.
And I was okay with what those bad CGI bits. It's like, it's not like I hate this.
Yes, yes.
Like, it was okay.
No, but here's the thing, man. If you make a cyborg movie and it's fine, that's all right. But if you make a movie with the three most important properties in comic book history, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Well, rule number one, don't start at 20 years into Batman's career, for God's
sake. Yeah, that was just really weird.
Also, give Batman something to do. Mm. He does nothing.
He's the
sponsor.
Yeah, he's the sponsor.
He's the sponsor. He's the executive producer of Justice League.
Executive producer.
Yeah, because all he does is bring people together, throws money at the problem, and sits at the back.
It is something I really want. Affleck's huge, and I think, and you can see in the reshoots, he gets slightly smaller. There's a little bit less neck muscle at times.
Yeah, yeah,
and I wanted to see, like, he did the weird roof crawl thing in Batman versus Superman. I wanted to see him be a bit more lithe, like to see him acrobat himself around Steppenwolf, put some bat-shaped charges on him, and then flip-flop away.
Yeah.
Just once.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have shown that Batman is on the team for a reason.
But it also would have shown that he's doing anything, something, anything. Yeah. He doesn't do anything.
Well, he uses a laser gun to shoot some parademons, so, and then he smiles at one point, which I found hilarious. There's one moment I laughed at my own
you
in
did,
the cinema.
Yeah,
I think that was that point where he just grins.
Yeah, but it's also... I'm starting to now sort of work through the story, right? Could it be that he's at the end of his career 20 years later, so he's not as agile as
that's what they've done. But again, it's all Warner Brothers shortcutting. It's like, we want to have an old Batman. Do two movies with young Batman first and not the other ones you've done before.
Yeah.
This is a movie that's kind of like, building the legacy. Like, Superman's a beacon of hope. It's like, no, he isn't. He's in the next generation of heroes, but we haven't seen the previous generation of heroes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is all just way too rushed.
Yeah.
And it's, they're changing their plans again. That's not going to fix the problem.
And it also feels like they recut it so Wonder Woman could be the center of attention, that she does the coolest things in this movie. Mm. And
when I'm watching this, like, I don't want to hate this movie, because I don't want people to think just because I hated Batman versus Superman, I hate this. And I watched the extended edition of that and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, don't do that. Oh, no, what's... Yeah, you're not helping yourself. Exhibit A, okay, just start with that. Exhibit A, bleak as hell. Exhibit B, what's going on with this music? Exhibit C, there's Bruce Bolton. Exhibit D, what is she doing? Also, what is superhero movies' obsession with people jumping through things and it having to CGI shatter? Like going through windows, when Wonder Woman goes through windows or doors, it breaks into like CGI pieces. Instead of just like have the door fly open.
Yeah.
It's just this weird thing.
Also, if you spend $300 million on a movie, the least you can do is spend some money on the special effects or the computer graphics for The Flash. Mm. At least show him doing something and not just blue electricity.
He runs weird.
Quicksilver did it great in the X-Men movies, and Flash on television does it better.
I was really hoping, there's one point where they need some charge. They need to charge a battery. And I was really hoping that they would use Grant Gustin's run and throw electricity thing that he does when you can throw the speed forth, and they didn't. And I was like, that would have just been like referencing the history again. Like, there's a point where there's a battle. I got confused between which battle was which, but there's a battle in the underground thingy with the first battle with Steppenwolf, and he's running around to do something. And he runs out of shot like three or four times in a sequence that's focused on him. And then he does a thing where he touches something and pushes it back to somebody. But in that sequence, it's like, I'm looking at wall here with blue flashes.
Yeah,
where's
right.
the flash gone? I mean, I understand he's fast, but we're in flash time.
Yeah.
We're in flash zone. We should be seeing him move slowly or the world moving slowly around him. It's like
the only thing I thought they did really well is every time somebody does something to him. Like you've seen in the trailer, Bruce Wayne throws a batarang at him and he sort of slowly dodges out of the way and has like, oh, wait, hang on. So he does sort of... He's able to sort of think through, he is able to avoid the batarang, think through, process, grab the batarang. So he's actually moving in the speed force, right? He's moving faster. Whereas in this one, it just looks like the cameraman's always trying to catch up with this guy, which is pointless because we're watching The Flash.
Yeah.
Why are we just watching a piece of wall where he used to be?
As much as he lingers in the shadow of Grant Gustin, I did think that it was an interesting take on a younger Flash. Although it was weird that his dad was Dr. Manhattan instead of the old TV Flash. It was kind of an odd moment. I was like, why is this in this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have to say, they even addressed, like, at the end of this, they kind of addressed the problems with the design of Cyborg. There's, like, a bit where he almost looks a bit more Teen Titan-y.
He updates himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought his character worked quite well.
I thought Ray Fisher has a great voice.
Yes. When he turns up and is like... You know, this is CNN, you know?
Yes, he's got an incredibly superheroic voice, and
also,
that
he's quite somber, and there's a hint, a soupçon of sadness in there or something as well when you're introduced to him. Because this is, the other thing that is this is basically Justice League War, which is the animated movie they made in 2014, I think, which is based on the relaunch of the DC Universe, which was Justice League Origin in 2011, which is Parademons Come to Earth. So I've seen some of those comics. I've seen this animation. So, I mean, I was happy they went in different directions with certain things.
But here's the thing.
Like, we didn't have to see Ray Palmer. We didn't have to see Vic Stone becoming Cyborg.
No.
He just starts as Cyborg. He's like, oh, thank God, I can't handle one more origin story.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing, right? Even if you're not a comic book reader, and this is another problem with this film. I know I'm just talking about problems with this film, but that's because I really, really wanted to like this, and I hoped that Joss Whedon would pull something out of the hat, but he didn't. And even if you're not a comic book reader, there's absolutely nothing to spoil in this movie because it is so predictable from beginning to end. From the very second it starts, you know exactly how it's going to end. And you know exactly how everything is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
You know when a character is going to come and do a hero moment to save everyone else. And you've worked this all out because you've seen a dozen superhero movies already and nothing surprises you anymore.
And Alfred's line from the trailer is not in the movie, right?
Alfred's line is not in the movie.
He said, I wondered, that he said you'd come.
Yeah.
That's not there.
There's a ton of stuff which has just been moved around.
And
I think that's the biggest failing of this movie. There is absolutely nothing new in it. There isn't even some semblance of newness.
I think I was having a look to see about this. It was an article Ben Affleck has said, you know, he's not said he's not going to be in the Matt Reeves Batman movie, but he said he's looking for the right time to segue out of the series in classy way or something like that.
Yeah.
He's not just going to smoke bomb it and disappear out a window. But in later on in that article, Ezra Miller was talking about working with Zack Snyder. I think this gives us an insight into why this movie is this way, even without any problems behind the scene. Miller remembers Zack Snyder helping him grasp parts of the movies using storyboards in his office. You can ask him what's going on in a scene and he can show it to you, saying things like, and there you go, boom, and there goes Batman, shazow.
Right.
Now that's a director. So if that's his style of explaining what the hell's going on in the movie, you know why we got what we got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no matter what Joss Whedon or anybody else can do, that's the base material is shazow.
Yeah. And I think it just feels like, assuming that that a lot of the pieces in this film is from the Zack Snyder version, the setup for all the characters, they do go into a bit of backstory with a few of the guys, right? And it just felt completely unnecessary. It was one or two scenes that shows, oh, hey, look, Barry Allen's father's in jail.
No, we don't need that.
Which three people in the world don't know this?
Yeah.
You know, like...
The same three people who didn't know that Bruce Wayne lost his parents.
Yeah, you know.
They didn't say that in this movie, though. They didn't mention his parents are
Martha
dead. Martha
is
once.
Not mentioned in this movie, gang.
But also, Batman also just walked in. Like, he's walking around. Okay, they're Swedish, they're Finnish, whatever. I'm pretty sure they speak English. And Jason Momoa is saying, so you're Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
He just gave up both names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do this repeatedly.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. And it just felt like they do a lot of that, right? Where it just felt like, I don't need to know this. I don't need to know this. I don't need to know this. Why are you spending 15 minutes on this character which is not going to do me any good?
Because it's like you said, it's barely a movie. It's,
yeah.
It's different scenes stitched together. And even then, as I was watching this movie, I was like, why did you put that scene there? I mean, throughout the film, I was rearranging scenes because I felt there were these moments that would serve it better if it was just placed at the beginning of the film or at the end of the film, right? Before we go, I mean, we've been ranting about this for a while now, but before we go, can we just talk about the horrific CG on Henry Cavill's lip?
Yes.
So if you don't know, Henry Cavill was under contract for Mission Impossible and he had to have a mustache and he could not shave it off, and they had to do a bunch of reshoots.
And apparently it's like there's maybe one scene that's not a reshoot because his top lip is like, he's got the uncanny valley right between his nose and his lip.
So what they did was they reshot everything with Henry Cavill and then CGI'd out his mustache, and God, it looks frightening.
Yeah. The opening scenes of this film is pretty sort of Superman-centric. Mm. That has got terrible jawline.
And also, that's the one with the phone footage?
Yes.
Where I was almost screaming at the screen, shoot in landscape! Don't shoot in portrait.
Yeah. But it was also
it is the upper lip that ate Metropolis.
Yeah. But it's also, okay, just sort of on to go on your thing about shooting landscape and portrait. He says, oh, this is for my podcast, but he's shooting video.
I know.
I'm like,
And then he says, what's your favorite thing about Earth? And he just kind of goes, it's like that moment with Jeff Goldblum in Thor Ragnarok where he just doesn't answer the question and he just moves on. It was a weird thing. Again, it's like, he answered the question, but we ran out of effects budget to cover up the mustache.
But that jawline was terrible.
But that said, there is a scene involving Henry Cavill and a certain the arrival of a certain red-headed actress that like does more for that relationship than anything in any of the previous movies put together.
Yeah. You actually see the hope of Superman in this film, which is weird. He's in,
and it's not in the scene where he explains it's a hope and it winds
like
a river.
Not. Yeah.
He's like, what the hell are
what
you talking
about?
Cry me a river, Zack Snyder. A river of hope.
Justice League is now playing in cinemas. You can go check it out and let us know what you think. Also, let us know where you think this ranks in DC canon. That's Wonder Woman, Man of Steel, and Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. How did this movie work for you? I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
This is At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.